On the Christmas morning, may the peace of Christ be with you all. I decided to, rather than offer you a sermon this morning, to read you a story. I hope you will oblige. As I read the story called Mary, written by Mike Napa. Do you love me? She spoke the word softly, but her eyes never loosed hold on mine. Her eyes that could tame anyone, anything. Deep, rich, chocolate brown eyes, round and full, with golden flecks hidden behind them and hints of secrets yet to come. Wonderful secrets, sorrowful secrets, eyes so deep. Ah, but I said that already. She did not speak after the question. It seemed urgent, yet she refused to rush this moment. I rolled the words around in my head as I considered them. Do you love me? Did I love her? I was to marry her, of course, but did I love her? She reached her hand out toward mine, and suddenly I was embarrassed for my fingers. My rough, scarred, calloused hands didn't deserve her gentle touch. So young, she seemed so young right then, almost as if she were a child reaching out to hold my hand as we walked together on some errand for nails or wood or food from the market. Do you love me? I wanted to say yes. She deserved a man who could say yes. And yet, I will learn to love you, I said finally, and you will learn to love me. Her eyes never looked away, but in the deepness behind them, I watched a flickering gold flame extinguish itself. I'd never seen her eyes so flat, her face such stone. She managed a small smile, nodded, and gently pulled her hands away from mine. Yes, she said, perhaps. So uncomfortable. How is it that this little woman, this almost child, could bring out such unease within me? I'd faced men a dozen times more terrible at my carpenter shop each day. I'd never backed down from anyone, not even my own father, may God rest his soul. Not once I'd become a man. I saw the looks the young mothers gave me, heard them whisper to their children when they walked by. There, see? Look at him. God be praised if you grow up to be a fine, honest carpenter like him. And yet this woman, my soon-to-be wife, left me trembling with just a look. Oh, Mary, I thought, why is your soul so downcast? What terrible burden have you come? Have you come to bear that demands my love and my trust? All in good time, I decided. All in good time. So, like the fool I was, I cleared my throat. Well then, is that it? Is that all you wanted to see me about? I stood to leave, thoughts already turning to the unfinished table and bench I was working on for Rabbi Yeshva. He would be pleased when I finished it 4 days early. And when Rabbi Yeshva was pleased, he was also generous. Joseph. Her back was turned to me, her voice so calm, so pale, so cold. I stopped mid-stride, staring at the slender shoulders and bowed neck. Tracing the path of her elegant locks of midnight black hair as it cascaded forgetfully down her spine, even from behind, she was a beauty, better suited for a queen's purple robe than for that poor tan cloth that made up her dress. And was she trembling? I waited, and then the words came, spilling from her lips into my ears like arrows from an archer's bow. Joseph, she said, I'm pregnant. I'm to bear a baby, a special baby, the Son of God. I know she turned to look at me then, but I did not see her. My eyes were filled with the sight of her in the act of love, forced to perform in the arms of one of those dirty, brutish, godless Romans, a soldier perhaps, a so-called nobleman, evil men really, no matter what they call themselves. And the hatred came quickly, filling me from the inside, threatening to spill out its venom directly on her. And then just as quickly as it faded, replaced now by an unquenchable sorrow, like a hunger that gnaws at the belly but is never satisfied. And now I saw her, tears in her eyes, looking at me, searching. Desperately seeking what? Love? It was not possible. Love was not what I had left to give. I didn't speak. I did only what I could do at that moment. I turned and walked away. I felt her hand reach out and brush against my shoulder, but she didn't cry out. Moments later, I knew that she would not follow. Rabbi Yeshva must have his table today, I muttered through gritted teeth, and tomorrow I will be a richer man. Yet in spite of it all, I could feel nothing but poverty as I walked, no, marched from Mary's home to my workplace. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my heart cried out in prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was well into the night before I finished Rabbi Yeshva's table. For some reason, my wood would not work as it was supposed to work. One leg of the table split right in half, a scratch marred another, and the bench seemed altogether too wet, wet with my tears. It must have been only a few hours from morning when I finally was done with the cursed task. I looked over my work. Yes, in spite of the trials, the wood was good and the bench was even better. The table looked nice. My bed held no attraction for me, so I sat on that bench and leaned on the table. It was time finally to think about my Mary, my betrothed, who had been taken by another for some opportunistic satisfaction. Poor Mary, I thought. She must have been frightened to make up such a mad story as she did. What was it she had said? I'm going to bear a baby, a special baby, the Son of God. I snorted out loud in spite of myself. The Son of God? Yes? Perhaps the Messiah, our long-awaited Savior? Yes, wouldn't that be poetic? The illegitimate son of a Roman soldier who grows up to be the Lord of Israel's revolution. But I am no poet, I thought. Only a man no longer with a wife. I closed my eyes. It was her eyes I saw. I would put her away quietly, I decided. She could move to another town. No one would ever know. And that would spare her life, at least when there were no reprieve for our hearts. Joseph. My eyes flew open. I jumped from the bench, ready to defend my property, but I saw no one. Who are you? I shouted. And how did you get in here? Silence. If it's money you want, you'll not find any here, I announced as I began looking into the shadowy darkness of my workroom. I picked up my hammer just in case it might be needed. Joseph, son of David. Again, the voice rang out as if right in my ear. I turned swiftly, striking out with a hammer, but no one was there. How did this voice know I was descended from King David? I sighed. That would make King David think now. To know that one of his line had become a simple, poor, hardworking carpenter, listening now to voices in the dark. Joseph. I put the hammer down. The presence seemed to fill the room, and somehow I knew it was not going to harm me. I sat at my bench, waiting. Finally, I spoke, quietly this time. Who are you? In response, a light burned within the shadows, easily eclipsing the candles within my shop, and then blowing them out completely. Out of the light came a man, larger, brighter than any man I'd ever seen, and yet not quite a man at all. I knew immediately it was a visit from God, or perhaps one of his messengers. I dropped to the ground, face pressed against the dusty floor of my room. Who are you, Lord? I whispered. Without a word, the creature stepped to my side, put his hands under my shoulders, and gently lifted me up to face him. I could feel the power pulsing through his fingers and knew that if he wished, he could easily fling me into the heavens or squash me like a bug on the floor. Now it was my turn to tremble. And then he smiled. He leaned over, whispering words in my ears, and behind the words were the faint sounds of bells as if a great announcement was being made. Joseph, son of David, he said, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. She spoke the truth. My Mary spoke the truth, and I believed a lie. Oh, would to God that I could take back my actions the day before. The man angel leaned back from my ear, placed a hand under my chin to lift my eyes toward his. He smiled, and in his eyes I saw that familiar glint, golden, of secrets not yet told, joys not yet given, sorrows not yet endured. I blinked, and he was gone. I found myself no longer standing, but sitting, no, lying across the new table I had just created. My hammer lay undisturbed. My candle still burned through the darkness of the room. Had it all been a dream? I closed my eyes and now could see only the eyes of my angel telling me God's words, "Do not be afraid." It was just after the rooster crowed when I knocked on the door to Mary's home. Her father was not happy to see me so early in the morning, but after some complaining, brought his daughter to the door. The circles under her eyes told me that she had not slept. The stains around the knees of her robe revealed she had not abandoned prayer. She gazed steadily into my eyes, and now I met her look without hesitation. "Yes, Mary, yes," I said. "Yes, I do love you." She said nothing, simply continued to stare deeply in my eyes. Was she looking for something there? "Say something. Do something," I fretted to myself. "Can't you see how much I need you? Isn't it obvious how I've always loved you? And I've only just now realized it. Too late? Oh, Mary, please, God." Deep in the recesses of my beloved's ebony eyes, a light flickered and came to life. She let out a soft sigh, and then my Mary smiled. When I read this story, it had the impact on me of remembering that no matter what our troubles are, they're only troubles because we can't see God's plan. For that moment, when the worries get too big for us, or the disappointments of life overtake us, we've forgotten what grace is and God's undeserved favor toward us. Perhaps our ways, our choices, and our lives, the way we want to live them, have taken us away from God, away from that plan. Sometimes he shows his love by correcting us through suffering, maybe through illness, maybe even through loneliness. But when we hear again the news that Jesus has come down from heaven, that he is God's own Son, born into the world, given for us, to be our Savior, it all comes back into focus, and we, like Joseph, realize that God has a plan. It doesn't make sense according to what the world calls success or peace or happiness, but it is a plan, and his plan is always right. For in Christ, we have been reunited to God. The hostility, the error of our sin has been absorbed and taken away from us. And we belong to him, now and forever. For me, this is the joy of Christmas morning, to consider again that thing that God has given us, that we put a name on. We call it redemption. But it is God coming for us, making us right, and bringing us with him forever. May the joy that this redemption brings to us be yours as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the eternal Savior. Merry Christmas. Amen.